It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Harrisburg is facing the first challenge to its gun laws by a gun rights group representing a retired state police corporal. It's in the form of a lawsuit believed to be the first filed under a new state law aimed at stacking the deck to give gun owners and gun rights groups a better chance at dismantling municipal firearms ordinances, which cities like Pittsburgh and Philadelphia also have, and which they are also being sued over, unlike this case, by the NRA. The law took effect last week. I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by John Misick, editorial page editor for the Patriot News and Penn Live. John, Happy New Year. Good to have you back on the show with us.
Paul, Happy New Year. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. We had the mayor of Pittsburgh, Bill Peduto, here yesterday. He had just been informed as he was taking his seat in the studio that the city of Pittsburgh was being sued by the National Rifle Association. It came on the heels of the announcement earlier this week. John, I'll start by having you explain what went down in Harrisburg on Tuesday.
All right. Well, more or less, this was widely expected, Paul, as you know, that when the state legislature passed this bill last year, that was only a matter of time before the NRA or some interested party slapped the city with a lawsuit. And that's precisely what happened. They're representing a state police corporal. Harrisburg's current ordinance forbids possession of guns by minors and the discharging of guns. We have to have an ordinance mandating reporting of lost and stolen weapons, and it prohibits the sale or display of guns while the city is under a state of emergency. The lawyer for this guy notified the city on Tuesday of its intent to sue. A group they're called U.S. Law Shield, a multi-state organization that offers legal services and training to gun owners. We knew this was coming, and now it's finally come.
And is it unusual for a law enforcement official to take this stand? And I'm curious if there's been a comment from the state police about it.
I've certainly never seen this before. Of all the people who have trouble getting access to firearms, law enforcement officers obviously be least of them. So the choice of a defendant is certainly interesting in this particular case.
Yes, certainly. And who was behind the push for this state law in the first place? We know that obviously gun rights groups, as they call themselves, wanted to see this, wanted to take on this challenge, but who in the legislature, as it was, and eventually it was Tom Corbett who signed it, signed the legislation. But where did this push come from?
I mean, this was largely an effort backed by the National Rifle Association. For a number of years, the NRA was rebuffed in its efforts to challenge local gun laws when the state Supreme Court found out that it ruled that it did not have legal standing to do so. They found a sympathetic ear in Harrisburg last term with Republican-controlled General Assembly and got the bill through. I mean, what they're arguing in essence to the NRA is that, and there is some legitimate interest here, is that there should not be a patchwork of ordinances from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. If you drive from, say, Pittsburgh to Monroeville, there should not be one set of gun possession rules in one jurisdiction, another set of gun possession rules in another jurisdiction, so that people will have some predictability in what they're doing, and know that if they're doing one thing legally in one place, that they have every expectation of being able to do it legally in another place, at least broadly speaking. So there's this so-called preemption doctrine where state laws largely preempt those of municipalities. There are some cases, though, where the high court has found that the preemption that local governments do have a legitimate interest in say health and safety matters, so they might be able to pass these. The groups that are challenging this law politically, I don't know, there's what litigation yet, argue that the original vehicle for it violated what's known as the single subject rule in the state constitution, which means that a bill can only be about one thing, and it can't be about several things. and that the vehicle, that the bill of terms, the vehicle for this law was jam-packed with a bunch of non-germane stuff, and therefore that it's a constitutional violation. So they're not making the preemption argument so much as they're making the process argument. And the state Supreme Court has actually been very very predisposed towards tossing laws that have violated the single subject rule. So they tend to like their chances there.
Now, as I understand it, and this has been we were discussing this with the mayor yesterday, the cities, the towns that are going to have to defend themselves against these lawsuits are going to have to bear the cost of the legal fees. How big of a financial hit could cities like Harrisburg and Pittsburgh and Philly end up taking to defend against these lawsuits?
Oh, it could be gigantic. And, you know, Philly and Harrisburg and Pittsburgh all have their share of financial difficulties. I mean, Harrisburg, for goodness sake, you know, very nearly plunged into bankruptcy less than 2 years ago. So if the NRA comes in and wins and overturns the lawsuit and racks up gigantic legal fees in the doing of it, which is almost certainly the case, the taxpayers of the city of Harrisburg will be on the hook for it, which makes it, in essence, sort of a form of legalized extortion, doesn't it? You know, they can come in and say, hey, you know what, drop the gun laws, otherwise we're going to sue the pants off you, you're going to lose, and you're going to be held liable for all of our costs. You know, some cities would just rather go quietly into that good night, like Allentown is, and face tremendous litigation. Harrisburg's mayor, Eric Papenfuse, a Democrat freshman, is sticking to his guns and says the city will defend, pardon the pun, and says it will defend its ordinance. And one can only hope for the sake of the taxpayers that Mayor Papenfuse comes out at the right end of it. Otherwise, it could be an embarrassingly large bill for the city.
We're talking with Patriot News and Penn Live editorial page editor John Misek about the cities in Pennsylvania that are being sued over their municipal firearms ordinances. John, I wanted to talk about a couple of other things that have developed. Yesterday, Kathleen Kane spoke for the first time in a long time about the troubles she's facing with this grand jury, which is intending to or has recommended that charges be pressed against her, and I'll get into some of the aspects of that. But just talk about the significance of Kathleen Kane speaking publicly about this for the first time yesterday.
Well, she's actually spoken out a couple of times already. Our Wallace McKelvey caught up with her at the Pennsylvania Farm Show, where she again maintained that she has done nothing wrong and sort of remains defiant in the face of what are believed to be the charges that are being recommended by this grand jury. Because keep in mind, Paul, we've not actually seen a grand jury report or, you know, charges, paperwork of any kind against the attorney general. So we're all still in sort of a wait-and-see mode. Right now, all we have are reports that this grand jury has recommended charges against the attorney general for violating, it's kind of circuitous, a grand jury that's recommended charges against her for violating grand jury secrecy rules in a completely different matter. So it's rather a legal mouthful and a lot to keep track of. She's maintained all along that she's done nothing wrong and sort of acted within the letter of the law, not violated secrecy rules. You know, the decision to charge is now in the hands of the Montgomery County District Attorney, Risa Furman, and we'll see what Ms. Furman chooses to do with it.
And the story came from the Philadelphia Inquirer about the grand jury recommending criminal charges against Kathleen Kane. So the reporters, Craig McCoy and Angela Columbus, who we had on the show last week, have said that they have been subpoenaed because of the inquiring minds here want to know where they got their information about what the grand jury was intending to do, because they don't make this public, or at least it was not intended to be made public just yet. So talk about this issue and whether they will invoke the state's shield law that protects journalists from being compelled to identify confidential sources.
Yeah, it's all very meta, isn't it? Thomas Carliccio, the special prosecutor who's investigating leaks, is now investigating whether there was a leak of the leaking of the leaks. it's like 6 degrees of Kathleen Kane here. But Yeah, so Craig and Ange were subpoenaed by Mr. Carlo Chiu, who wants to find out how they knew what they knew. I don't know where that is in the legal process, but typically what follows is the affected news organization files a motion to quash the subpoena. And I spoke with Melissa Molesky, who is a very good media law lawyer for the Pennsylvania News Media Association, just the other day, who tells me the state actually has a very strong and very vigorous shield law that protects reporters from being compelled to reveal their sources to either the government or to law enforcement. And that judges tend to be predisposed towards the shield law because there's a fairly significant body of case law supporting it. So one hopes, because I have a sort of a compelling professional and self-interest here, that if Ange and Craig find themselves before a judge, that judge will do the right thing and send Mr. Carlo Chiu packing.
And you're saying, this is the right thing because as many people feel that this is something that journalists have to have the ability to protect their sources. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to shed light on important issues that people like yourself feel that the public has a right to know about.
One of the journalists' fundamental jobs is holding government and holding power accountable. And one of the ways that happens is people coming forward anonymously, releasing information, leaking information from grand juries or documents or whatever that might be embarrassing to those in power. And if those in power say, you must tell us who these people were who told you, there's a chilling effect on the news gathering process. People will be less likely to come forward and government will be less likely to be held accountable, and just undermines the whole process, which is also a very idealistic in seventh grade civics, I realize. But, that's just the way it works.
Editorial page editor of the Patriot News and Penn Live, John Micek, joining us by phone from Harrisburg. John, as always, great thanks for your insights and information.
Paul, anytime.
Coming up, what goes into the management of wildlife around an airport runway? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.